now. You can live in it for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Hey, everybody. Say hi to Natalie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This is a fun show today. We actually were in Las Vegas last week and got two really cool interviews. One of which is John Cesena from ESPN, and the other one is Steve Aoki.
Very cool.
He is such a cool guy.
Yeah, he was.
Wow, I loved meeting him. I didn't know before meeting him, you know, I started looking him up. I didn't realize that his family owns Benihana.
Yeah, his dad.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Such an
interesting story.
Yeah, really cool guy. So stay tuned because those interviews are going to come up a little bit later. Oh, I guess we should talk about what happened in Vegas, right? Oh, but first, wait, speaking of Vegas, yeah. Our live show, October 13th, House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Here's our guests. Our guests are, I'm so excited about this. Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to be on the show.
I know.
I love him.
So fun.
He's awesome. His wife is awesome. They've got triplets. Coolest thing. And the two most handsome plastic surgeons in the world, Dr. Terry Dubrow and Dr. Paul Nassif, are going to be guests.
A lot of doctors in the house.
And Paul is single.
Yes, very single.
So we might have to do something with that in Vegas. Natalie is single.
Okay.
I'm not trying to fix you up with Paul. I'm just saying, you know him too well, probably.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I'm saying, how much fun. Dr. Drew, Dr. Dubrow, Dr. Nassif, and Natalie and Heather.
So fun.
And we've got Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff Civilico is going to be there, and he is the hottest comedian on the strip right now.
Yeah.
And
he's
so
gonna be
cute.
A really good time.
And mildly in love with Natalie.
A little bit.
But he's cute. He's going to he's going to open the show.
Yeah. He interacts with the audience, and he just is a really good time. I've seen some of his stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah. He's amazing. We are very, very lucky to get him. So that was really cool. It's going to be such a great show. If you've not gotten your tickets yet, go to livenation.com. I think there's still a few VIP. I'm not sure, but there still might be a few meet and greets, VIP meet and greets available. And I promise we won't run out of champagne. We've told the venue this will never happen again. We are not running out of champagne. So make sure you get your tickets Thursday, October 13th, House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. We are going to have fun, fun, fun. A bunch of my friends are coming. A bunch of Natalie's friends and family are coming. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
Awesome. And actually, I think Dr. Drew's calling in a little bit, so we'll be excited to talk to him. So we were in Las Vegas because I was asked to speak at this conference called Impact 16, which is a big internet marketing association. It's really cool, almost like a mentoring program. They have people around the world. Mm-hmm. Didn't you think it was pretty neat?
Yeah, I was definitely not expecting that, but it was very cool. And I mean, all the people that, you know, we got to meet was even better.
Yeah, they do a few days of seminars. So they asked me to speak, and I spoke for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes on internet marketing, how it's affected, you know, my career and what I've done with it. It was really, you know, it was, you know, hard. But for someone who speaks for a living, that's a long speech.
It was pretty long. But, I mean, you did great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It was fun. So thanks, Sinan Kanatsis, for asking me to do that. They gave me an award.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
And a lot of champagne.
And a lot of champagne. It was so funny. They gave me this award. And they're like, we want to give this to you, Entrepreneur of the Year, you know, for what you've done with your podcast and your skincare line and all this stuff. He goes, but, you know, I know you, so I know that just this little plaque isn't enough. And he brought out two magnums of champagne. And I was like, well, what are they drinking?
it was
so fun. But then what we did was, after the event, Terry and I turned into Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. We threw on our capes, and we decided we were going to test out those Las Vegas hangover cures. Mm-hmm. So we hung out with E! News that night and proceeded to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Anything sugary, anything fun. Oh, my God. It was so funny. We were dancing on the streets in Las Vegas.
It was so funny. I cannot wait to see how that played out. But you guys had, like, the fountains behind you and Frank Sinatra playing, and you guys are just pretty tipsy.
It was so funny. And then the next day, we were kind of feeling that. So we did the hangover cures. But you're going to have to watch E! News to find out what happened. But man, that was such a funny time.
Yeah, you guys had a really good time.
That whole trip was just, it was 24 hours in Vegas. insanity.
I know.
Yeah, very interesting.
It was like the movie The Hangover almost.
It really was. So funny. But we had a great time. So thanks again to Impact 16 for having us, and look for that segment on E! News. Okay, so I'm mildly obsessed with pantyhose right now.
Really?
See, but you're a California girl or a Nevada girl. I mean, you never wore pantyhose probably.
No, and I'm also 27, so I never really, it wasn't.
Oh my gosh, I had to wear pantyhose at like age 12.
That's why. Back in the day, I feel like that was very in. Now it's more optional. It's more like of a style thing versus people would wear that, you know, underneath their skirts all the time.
I know, but you don't think it's an East Coast, West Coast thing, like a weather thing?
It could be, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I know, like, little girls will wear tights. I think that's sort of universal, that little girls will wear tights. But on the East Coast, it's cold. You can't wear a short skirt and bare legs when it's snowing outside. By the way, people do now.
Yeah.
But back then, no one did that.
Are you, you're wearing them now?
No, so here's the thing. So we always wore pantyhose, and like my mom, you know. My mom, I mean, God, if you weren't wearing pantyhose, it's like you're asking for it, you know? So it's like appropriate you wear it. And then there was, remember when I took you to New York, I showed you where Bendel's used to be?
Right.
There's this department store called Henry Bendel's. Henri Bendel. Okay. Really? So there's my little friend Jackson. So it used to be this little brownstone, like a 5-story little brownstone. And you'd go in there and there was a man sat in the elevator and would, you know, work the elevator up and down. And everything in Bendel's was special. Designers you never heard of. It wasn't like you walk to the rack and it's BCBG and this and that. Right. It was like special things. So downstairs on the first floor where a department store would have cosmetics and jewelry and all that, they had that, but it was small and everything was very unique. Okay. And so they had a little accessories department and a little this, a little that, and they had a hosiery department. Hosiery? Hosiery. Hosiery? Hosiery. I'm going to say hosiery.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
I thought it was hosiery.
Okay, everyone weigh in on that. I think it's hosiery. But it's ho. But it was so pretty. And you'd go and they'd have all different colors. And they'd have ones with shimmer. And they'd have ones with little diamond details. They didn't have those, you know, in the regular department stores at that time.
Right.
So it was a really, it was very special. And they were expensive. And they weren't like in the leg egg where they're all squished up.
Right.
They were formed like a leg. They were just very special and cool. So anyway, I grew up wearing pantyhose. And I still like I don't wear pantyhose now, but I do enjoy tights.
Right.
And I enjoy a fishnet now and again. Uh-huh. It can be a cool look, not in a slutty short skirt hooker kind of way, but more in a high fashion, like different, you know, pale fishnet kind of, I don't know. Yeah. I like them. Duchess Kate wears pantyhose.
Well, I would imagine so.
Well, they've never said that before. And all of a sudden there are these articles and she and pictures of her and she's got pantyhose on. And everyone's saying, why is she wearing pantyhose now? Doesn't that look nice? And is everyone going to start wearing pantyhose now?
So are you going to start wearing pantyhose?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's too hot here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't, depending on the type, it doesn't really make the leg look so sexy.
It depends on the type.
Right.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do like a real sheer black.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can look really, really nice. But she was wearing nude pantyhose, which I thought was very interesting. Now, some people wear them because they have vein issues.
Right.
And it's good for compression.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, I mean, my mom used to make us travel in pantyhose, tights, like on the airplane.
Though.
And then they rip. And then you have to use clear nail polish.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yes. Clear nail polish. Dries. And then it doesn't run.
Yeah, the worst is like when you're trying to like just get your foot in there and as soon as you pull it on, just...
It rips and you get that run down the front. Well, what's funny is they used to have... People used to wear gloves to put their pantyhose on so that they wouldn't rip.
Oh my God.
Isn't that hilarious?
It's so funny.
Oh my God. What else is going on? Oh my gosh, my friend Lindsay. We have a special caller on the line. Let's patch...
Drew Pinsky.
Drew!
Hey!
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I am so excited that you are going to be my guest in Las Vegas.
You could not be as excited as I am. This is going to be really fun. We've been trying to get together with you for how many months now, and finally we're going to do it by going to a different city.
I love it, but we're going to have a ball. I'm so excited. Yeah. Is your wife coming?
Yes.
Oh, we're gonna,
absolutely.
Oh, great. We're going to have to bring her on stage, too. Come on, let's make it a family affair.
Be careful what you wish for, but okay, game on.
I love it. How are things?
Really good. I mean, we wrapped up the HLN program last week, and mm-hmm. so that's why I had the freedom to be able to go do this with you. This is going to be really exciting. You know, I'm just doing KBC during the day and trying to find the next place to hang my hat.
I love it. Well, you are a super fun, great, talented, sharp guy, and I'm excited to see what your next chapter is going to be, and I'm super excited you're going to be with us in Las Vegas. So thank you so much, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, before I let you go, or you let me go, I want to say your book, I hope we'll be talking about that too, because you have not spoken. I wrote you a little note about it, but I will say again, and I'm not gushing, not because it's you, it's because you guys did good work. It is a quality piece of work. Really, people will have to learn a lot, and it is all legitimate, clinically sound information. So hats off to you for writing a really good book.
Thank you so much. By the way, that means so much coming from you. So I so appreciate that. And we will talk about the book and everything that we all have going on, and we are going to have a ball.
Oh, boy. Watch out, everybody. Now you're bringing my wife up on stage, too. So you guys can come and ask her questions.
That's right.
That will be... hold your breath, everyone.
And the champagne's going to be flowing, people, so who knows what's going to happen.
All right. Oh, God. All right. I'll see you then.
All right, hon. See you soon.
Right, thanks.
Bye. Is he so cool?
So sweet.
I love him. He is the greatest guy. You know what I love about Drew is that, first of all, he's so bright.
Yeah.
And he's really funny. He's got a really dry, fun sense of humor that a lot of people don't know. So I can't wait for everyone to see him live. And I have not met his wife.
Oh, you haven't?
No, but she's amazing. And she's got her own podcast and she does her own thing. So I'm really excited to have them both there.
That'll be fun.
That is going to be awesome. Yeah. All right, everyone, don't forget, get your tickets for October 13th in Las Vegas. Okay, so my friend Lindsay, I don't know if I want to kill her or thank her, because she is raising the bar really high with the kids.
Right.
And I told her I peaked a long time ago because the twins are turning 13. And when they were really little, I always talk about this. I used to make these big parties. I said, no, no, no. Oh my gosh. So she does these things like school year's eve parties where she has a party just with them, just at home. Like, you know, it doesn't have to cost $1 million. Just like, you know, a little party. You know, the night before school starts. And then Coco comes home and she goes, Lindsay puts pictures and notes in her lunchbox every day. And I went, oh, this reminds
me. I'm such a bad mother.
Oh my gosh. I used to do this stuff, but this reminds me when the twins were little, I used to take their lunches and I used to, you know, this is when I wasn't working, so I did everything myself. I used to cut their lunches into shapes.
Yeah.
So like smiley face sandwiches and you know, all these different things. So creative. But then you get tired.
Yeah.
And then you have three kids and then you have four kids and then you're over it. But I feel so bad because I can't be complacent because Coco's the youngest and she can't not have these things. So I think I have to say thank you to Lindsay.
She's honestly, she'd get like mom of the year. That
totally.
Woman is insane.
Insane.
I mean, I follow her on Instagram, so I just see everything, but holy moly.
I know.
She took
the kids out of school. Her kids are little.
Yeah.
They're 4 and 5. So she took them out of school the other day, because you can at this age, and took them whale watching. Okay, that's fine. I thought it was hugely impressive. But why does Coco have to know about that? She was like, Mommy, guess what?
Oh, no. I'm here,
like,
we go. Oh.
And the thing is, Lindsay works, too. Like, there's no excuse. She does everything.
She's a rock star.
Oh, man. She's a rock star mom. She's a really good
friend. She should at least give you a heads up. Like, hey, I'm going to be doing this. No, so just...
She usually does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I was working that day, so I couldn't have done it anyway. You know, I always try to fit work in while they're at school so that when they're done with school, I'm there.
Yeah.
But now I said to her, Coco, the other day, I'm like, all right, we're gonna have an adventure. You and me. She was like, really? I go, yeah. She's like, what are we going to do? I go, I don't know. I need some time.
I'll think about it and let you know.
Yeah, she's so funny. She picks up on everything.
Yeah, she's very smart.
You know what I forgot to tell you the other day? She told me that one of the kids at school said, someone was making fun of your mom. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah. Meaning
on
TV.
At her, in her class? Like in her age group?
Yeah, I know who the kid is. The kid is... he's a sweet little boy, but his mom is a teacher at the school, and she obviously watches the show.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the cast members does a little imitation on me, which is kind of hilarious. But so she told me, and It was just interesting to me because I said, then I asked the other three later, I said, have you ever like heard something or does anything ever bother you? Because they never have said anything. And they're like, right. no, everyone's very positive.
Yeah.
You know, Nikki was on the show recently and everyone was like, oh my gosh, you're so funny Nikki. Yeah, he loved it. But they're not on very often, but this is the first time I've heard something negative.
And it came from Coco.
Was
she more like questioning? Was she upset? Was she just not understand?
She didn't have a bent on it. She just told me. Okay. So-and-so said this. And I went, huh. I said, okay. I go, you know what? That happens in life, whether you're on television, you're not on television. Sometimes people talk about you. Sometimes it's because they secretly like you. Sometimes it's because they don't like you. Sometimes it's because they're jealous of you. Sometimes there could be so many reasons, or sometimes they're just being silly. There could be so many reasons why someone does something like that. I go, I'm completely not offended. It's totally okay. Just like, okay.
Oh, good.
That's
a good response.
Yeah, it was just, it sort of took me off guard. And then I thought, who's letting their 5-year-old son watch reality shows?
Right. But, you know, sometimes parents don't think that their kids are listening. So even if they're just talking about a parent or someone in, you know, so-and-so's class, they're picking up on it. I mean, at that age, they are aware.
I agree. And I have to say, I am guilty of that also. I know that sometimes Terry and I will be having a conversation and Katarina will say, who? And I'll go, oh, no one you know. And I'll look at Terry like, later, talk about
yeah,
this later.
Exactly.
Oh, I had the night from hell, did not sleep at all. I'm going to tell you about that. But before we get to that, if you want a better night's sleep, you need a Cristelli mattress. The bed is a sacred place. Lots of life happens there. And that's why what you sleep on really does matter. Cristelli makes more than mattresses. They make beds for life. They're a third generation family business that started back in 1931. And every Cristelli is crafted by hand, one by one, the old fashioned way. And they make each one to order, especially for you, right there in Greenville, South Carolina. And what's amazing is they offer a 50-night sleep trial, so you're not stuck with the wrong mattress. Every Cristelli mattress comes with a lifetime warranty, and they donate 10 meals to hungry Americans for each mattress sold. So go to Cristelli.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L-I.com. Use the code Heather for $100 off your mattress order through October 14th. And if you ordered a Cristelli mattress since September 1st, call Cristelli and give them the code Heather to get $100 back. That's awesome. So use the code Heather. That's Cristelli.com. C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L-I.com. Anyway, I had the worst night last week. I wanted to go to bed early. So I wanted to go to bed. I wanted to put the kids to bed early because I wanted to go to bed. Nikki got a migraine and they've been getting more frequent. I have to take him in to see someone. I was dealing with him and giving him, you know, Motrin and putting a towel on his head. And I finally got him to sleep, finally got the girls to sleep. I went and I laid down and the alarm started going off in the house. It was wild. I mean, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I went to sleep at 9:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. The alarms go insane.
And it's around the whole house.
I have no idea, but I think it was only upstairs. I don't know why, but I don't know, but it was so loud. And I was mildly nude, so
I... Didn't we just have this conversation about there was a fire?
Well, the good news is there was something by my bed.
Okay, good.
I had my robe, so I threw it around me like a towel, you know, because I didn't have time to find arms and stuff, but I threw it around me because I did listen to my own advice. Ran down the hall, and I hear the girls are screaming, and I run in there, and I'm like, it's okay. It's just an alarm. Everything's okay. And Coco and Kat were sleeping in the same bed, and Coco looks at me and goes, I peed in Kat's bed. And I go, okay, come with me. And we get the alarm's going crazy. Get her off the bed. We had to go find Nikki, who's like under the covers, right? Max was away with school at Catalina for the week. And so I get him. He's like, what's going on? I go, it's okay. Come with me. Come with me. So I put them all in my bed. Terry's walking around nude, trying to figure out how to turn this darn thing off. Because, I mean, it was just a disaster. So he gets it shut off. The alarm guy is calling us. We're figuring out how to redo this. It turns out they think it was dust in the smoke alarms from the construction. Mm-hmm. So they've replaced all of them, cleaned them, whatever they had to do, they did it. But anyway, I finally get everyone to bed because it kept going off.
Right.
And then I think because we thought it was the alarm system, we armed it the wrong way, but it was the smoke alarms. So now every time you opened a door or walked anywhere, they'd go back on again.
Oh,
so this went on till, I'm going to say, 3:30 in the morning. And then the three of the kids then were in my bed. Terry went to someone else's bed.
Hopefully not Katarina's bed.
Hopefully not Katarina's bed. I'm not really sure I told him what had happened at that point. I gave Coco a pair of my pajamas.
Oh,
and
my
so they were huge on her, yeah. Obviously, but I tied them and whatever. She was like, but it was so sweet. So we got into the bed and she goes, Mommy, will you hold my hand? I'm like, of course. And you know when, first of all, I was bone tired and all you want to do is go to sleep. You know, you love these little beings and they're so scared. And so I can't lay on my left side because my sciatica is so bad. But the only way I could hold her hand was kind of like lay on my left side kind of and turn my head to the side. And my arm was all, you know, jinky. And oh, it was so uncomfortable, but I was so happy. I would have held her hand and laid there for days.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, it was so, so cute. I mean, is there anything better than sleeping with your little 5-year-old holding your hand?
I mean, I don't have kids, but I have nieces, so I can somewhat imagine.
It's so sweet. Yeah. It's just, oh, the love. I mean, just, and you know, and you have that moment where you go, I know that these moments are so fleeting now, especially as they're getting older,
right,
that I just, you know, I really savor that. I just love that. But this is what it made me realize, is that we don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. Because Nikki said to me the next day, he's like, okay, so if that happens again, should I just stay in my bed? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, don't stay in your bed. I go, what if it was a real fire or a real emergency?
Right. So you know the difference between the fire alarm now.
And the smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. But even still, I mean, you need a plan. Everyone needs to get up. We need to have a central place to go to. They need to understand, you know, they know things like stop, drop, and roll and, you know, go, you know, and where to stand in an earthquake. We've talked about the triangle of life, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But as a family, I feel like we need plans for what if there's a fire? What if there's this? What if there's that? And where do you go? Because I don't want them waiting in their bed for me. What if the fire's on that side?
Absolutely.
So that made me realize we really, really need a plan. My mom had a suggestion that I sort of poo-pooed, but then I thought about it and I thought it was actually a good idea. I'll have to tell her. Sorry. Yes, Mom, you were right. She said, why don't you have someone from the fire department come over to the house and look, you know, just like in buildings where they give you the escape route.
That's a great idea.
To give us the escape route and where the kids, what they should do.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Right.
I also think they need to know the difference between the alarms. Granted, in the house, when the fire alarm, the whole house will turn on. That's why it's that very loud noise. But if someone were to break in, the alarm only goes off in that area.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I just went through the whole thing. Right. So it would be good for everyone to know the difference between alarms. That way you have a plan for each, you know, for each situation.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. All right. Well, the point of me bringing all of this up is that everyone needs a plan.
Yeah.
We've got to have a plan.
Yeah.
What else? Do you have a plan?
No.
I have no plan. I went to my friend's birthday party on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. They opened up this beautiful restaurant in Newport Beach. It's called Farmhouse. It's my friend. They have this place, Rogers Gardens. It's this gorgeous nursery. And they sell trees and plants and things, but all the holiday stuff. It's where we go like every year at Christmas time to get special things and oh, it's so beautiful. Anyway, they opened up this restaurant that looks like Napa Valley.
Oh, I love it.
Amazing. So she had her birthday party there last weekend. And it was so funny because her husband gets up to give a toast and he tells a story about how they got the name. Uh-huh. And the way they got the name Farmhouse is that, remember when we were in Napa, when we launched the Colette, the sparkling wine we did. So they were there and they were at the party, and we only served really hors d'oeuvres. It was like a cocktail party for the launch of Colette. So afterwards, they said they were hungry, and so they stumbled across the street in Napa. And he was so funny. Gavin's like, she's got her Jimmy Choo's on, and there's all gravel and dirt. You know, it's Napa.
Yeah.
And they stumble across the way, and they found this place called Farmstead, and it's a really, really cool place where there's a food and a big farm, and it's awesome. And she looked at him, and she goes, yeah, let's name our restaurant Farmhouse.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how they named the restaurant. Which was really cool, and I loved hearing the story. But what do you think I was thinking about the entire time when he was telling the story?
I have no idea.
There wasn't enough food at the party.
Oh.
I was obsessed by it.
That they had to stumble across the street just to find food.
Because I feel like I always want to feed people.
It's funny because you always have extra food at your parties, even though you know no one ends up eating. So it's funny that the irony of that.
I know. Terry always says, take whatever you're ordering, cut it in half again, and then just throw it in the garbage because no one's going to eat it.
That's hilarious.
I do. I don't like to run out.
Yeah.
Like we ran out of champagne.
What did you tell him? I feel so bad that you guys had to go.
I know. We ran out of champagne at the last live show. That's not going to happen again.
Right.
Not on my watch.
Right.
Not happening. So anyway, they told the story and it was really lovely, but I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, I failed.
I'm mortified.
I'm mortified. I didn't have enough food at the tasting party. That was bad. Speaking of parties, we had a tooth losing party for Coco.
I know. How did it go?
Oh my gosh. If you want to see the cake, go on my Instagram at Heather Dupreau. All right. So it started simply, you know, when Max was the first one to lose a tooth, we went out to dinner. We went to Gulfstream and I got a cake from Susie Cakes and I had them draw a tooth on it. And we sang happy tooth, losing tooth. It was really cute. And then Nikki and then Kat or whatever. So now it's Coco's turn and I realized this is my last first tooth.
So you had to like go out with a bang.
Well, I mean, I don't feel like I did that much. It's funny because I posted a picture of what the tooth fairy brought her.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, if you have kids listening, you can turn this down now. But I posted a picture that the tooth fairy wrote her a note and gave her 5 gold coins. They're $1 coins. And I got a lot of great comments like, that's so reasonable. We've heard of tooth fairies bringing $100 or $500 or lavish gifts. And I think that's ridiculous. She's 5. She doesn't know what any of that's worth. You know, why would I do that? She loved the gold coins. It was great. But then I posted a picture of the tooth losing party. And so many people said, a lot of people loved it, but so many people were like, oh, I thought you were so like down to earth with the 5 gold coins in the note. And now this. But I have to tell you, it wasn't an elaborate party. It was a really nice way to get our family together.
Yeah.
And people that Coco loves together for a meal, like a great excuse to do that. Yeah. And honestly, it was some balloons and a cake.
Yeah. If they only knew that like Coco was running around the house with a piece of paper and a pencil saying, are you coming to my party. Mm-hmm. I'm having a party. Like, I want you to go.
She was FaceTiming people.
Yeah, she really was. Like, how do you say no to a 5-year-old child that wants to have a party? I mean, I don't blame you.
No, and the truth is that she's very shy. I know a lot of people wouldn't realize that about her, but she's very shy and she gets embarrassed really easily. So for her to want to be in the limelight like that, it was really she understood that this was a special moment. And yeah, it's just a tooth. I get it. You know, look, she didn't win a peace prize. And some people were saying, what are you going to do when she gets her period? You know? Trust me.
It's very red there.
Trust me, there's not going to be a cake. But I'm just telling you, I'll make it special in a private mother-daughter way, but not that's not a cake and balloon occasion.
Yeah.
But I really just loved doing it for her. And she loved it. Everyone has their thing, but you don't have to spend $1 million. You could have a cupcake and, you know, celebrate with your family that way.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought
how was it when she actually lost it? Was she crying?
I pulled it.
I know. So what's that story?
It was hanging off by a thread.
Was she freaking out?
No, not at all. And their big tooth is already growing in. It's right there. And Nikki kept saying, don't let mom near your tooth. She's going to pull it. Because he hates losing teeth so much that he'll wait till literally it's like falling out on its own.
Right.
Just on the side of the road. Like just there it is. So I said to her, I go, I'm not going to do anything to it. It's hanging on by a thread. Just keep wiggling it.
Uh-huh.
And I go, or if you want me to, I'll pull it. She goes, will you pull it?
Oh my gosh.
And I go, really? And she goes, yeah, just pull it. So I started to, and she goes, oh, that might hurt. I go, get a piece of ice. So she iced her tooth for a second. She goes, okay. And I went, and that was the end of that.
That's it? Mm-hmm. You didn't get any floss?
No.
Oh, really?
Why, you do it with floss?
Yeah. You wrap the tooth with floss and pull it.
No, I just took a little napkin, I held onto it, and I yanked it out.
My mom would tie it on the door and shut the door.
She really did that?
Oh, yeah.
People really do
my
that?
My mom was savage. Yes.
That's crazy. That's barbaric.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I remember one of my front teeth I lost because I want to say my sister pushed me off a stool in the kitchen. I don't know, but we couldn't find the tooth.
Okay.
And so I had to write a whole letter to the tooth fairy why I didn't have it and what happened.
Oh my
God. One time Max was obsessed with writing back to the, because I always, you know, our tooth fairy writes notes. So she started writing back and it became this ongoing pen pal thing where I had to break it off.
Stop.
Oh yeah. No, no. I had to write like a tooth fairy is so busy and traveling kind of thing.
Oh, she's so sad.
No, she was fine. Yeah. She got it. Like, oh, she's getting tooth fairy. Very busy. Gotta go. Did you watch the debates?
I did.
What'd you think?
I did. Oh, you know, it's pretty sad. I think it's pretty sad.
Why? Because these are our choices?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, obviously talking politics will raise a lot of, you know, arguments and whatnot. But I just think it was a joke.
Yeah, I thought Terry and I watched them with the kids coming in and out. You know, it's funny because the kids' reaction to Donald Trump trying to be president is so odd because they've seen him on television.
Right.
You know, in like a as a reality star. So to them, it's like, is this a TV show? Like, what is going on?
Right.
Isn't that bizarre?
I mean, I think her answers were politically correct. You know what I mean? She spoke more of a, like, as a president should.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just more real and raw and very Trump-like.
Yeah. I thought in the beginning, I thought he was doing pretty well. And then he just, you know. He just, it's like what Hillary says, you know, you can bait him with a tweet.
Oh, he just loses
anything,
it.
Anything. I mean, I don't know if I'd want him near the button.
Exactly.
That's what's scary.
Exactly.
But maybe can they just bring him in as a consultant on the financial thing?
Right.
I'm just thinking.
I know.
Something. Moving from the debates, I went to hot yoga. It was so hot on Monday. It was 100 degrees in California. 100 yeah. degrees. Why I thought going to hot yoga was going to be a good idea, I have absolutely no idea. But I did. So I actually went to Orange Theory. Mm-hmm. And then I was with Danya, my friend Danya. She's like, well, let's go to hot yoga.
Oh,
and I went, okay, because I thought, you know, I'll just go in and stretch. It'll be so lovely. Yeah. It was the most grueling workout. They have weights and they do cardio and it's like 105 degrees in there. And the teacher is pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
And doing the entire class, and I am ready to pass out. Here's the thing, though. You are dripping. I mean, the sweat is just dripping everywhere. But this is what I've decided. I'm not grossed out if there's a girl standing next to me, but I do not want to stand next to a boy at yoga.
Why?
Because I don't want their sweat coming near me. It grosses me out. Is that weird?
What's the difference between a guy's sweat and a girl's sweat?
I don't know, because it's boy sweat.
Oh my gosh.
It was so funny. And afterwards, the girl standing next to me, because I had Danya on one side, and then the girl standing next to me said, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to like step on your mat. I'm like, oh, it's totally okay. It's totally fine.
Ew, she shouldn't step on your mat. That's a little much.
Well, you know, it's like they do sidestep, like lunging kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, because there's cardio involved.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
It was barely, not like in the middle of my mat, but like barely. But she was fine. She was very clean. She was very cute. She was fine.
Yeah.
I don't want some big sweaty man standing next to me.
How do you feel about them touching you? Like the instructor touching you and stretching you out?
She doesn't do that in this class.
Oh, she didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. They usually do.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you're like in a downward dog or whatever it is, then they'll like stretch you out. But you know, they're obviously sweating and you're sweating. So it's
I don't think that would bother me. Like sometimes, you know, at the gym, the trainer will come up and, you know, move. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. It's just someone's like free flowing, you know, like, like sweat coming off. Like if someone's sweaty on the treadmill and they get off and there's drips of sweat everywhere, that is disgusting.
It is the worst.
Clean your machine.
Yeah.
Come on.
So you're not going back?
No, I'm going to go back.
Okay.
I'm going to stand in the corner, the back corner. By the way, it was also right underneath the hot thing.
It's good. That's good.
Oh,
just stand by the hot thing, but by the door. Because then when they open it to let air in, you're the first one to get air.
Yeah, that's what I want to be, at the back left corner near the door.
Yeah.
That's going to be my new spot. Yeah. I got to get there early, though. Grab the spot. People know.
I know.
I know. That's good. Okay, let's move on to our beauty tip of the week.
What is it?
Okay, our beauty tip of the week is pretty basic, but it's hydration all around. Drinking, moisturizing, everything. Because I was looking at my kids this morning when I was getting ready, and I always put sunscreen on. By the way, constant argument with the sunscreen. I can't stand it. But I noticed that Coco's skin looked dry.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving into winter. It's very hot here, and we're in a desert, so it's dry here. But all over the country, we're about to get really cold. And hydration is so important. So drink, drink, drink. Keep drinking water. But also moisturize your body. It's a really good idea to leave a thing of moisturizer in your car. Mm-hmm. Right in your center thing. Do you do that?
I don't, but I should.
Yeah, it's really good because you know what? Just to put a little hand cream on, you know, when you're waiting in carpool line, just to keep them moisturized, because when your hands and nail beds get dry, you get start to get problems with your nails. So moisturize, moisturize, moisturize. And for our hippest, hottest, newest, butt lift in a box. Okay, so last week we talked about that hideous contraption that I bought that was the worst moment of my life, perhaps looking at my ass in the mirror, hanging out of that bubbles thing. Okay, so there's this other thing called butt lift in a box, and I have been using it for about a week, so I'm going to have to update you, but I will tell you, I already feel like it's doing something.
Really?
What I like about it is it's not just a cream, it's not just a, it's a bit of everything. So what they, in the box, they give you a cream and a, like a serum, okay? One, I can't remember, one's mm-hmm. like, is a catalyst for the other one. Right. And then they give you an exercise band. And a booklet of exercises mm-hmm. to do specifically mm-hmm. for your butt. So they're not saying, here's a jar, it's a miracle, this is all you need. They're saying, this really helps, and doing these exercises are really going to help.
Yeah.
And I love the exercise. I mean, there are things that I do at the gym anyway, but now I've been using the cream and the serum, and I love it.
I feel like I should get credit for fabulous tush because I found the box.
You do. Okay, you will. Well, let's look at it in a month and then I'll tell you if you're deserving
yes.
of that.
Yes.
But I really liked it. So my new routine is like in the morning before I put on my gym clothes, I put on the cream and the serum.
Nice. Does it like tingle? Is it hot? Is it?
I feel like, not exactly tingle, not like in a minty way, but uh-huh. it feels like something's going on.
Okay.
It does.
I like that.
I really like it. Yeah. Go look it up. Butt lift in a box. All right. Stay tuned because coming up, amazing interviews with Steve Aoki and John Cesente from ESPN. But first, I want to tell you about Crooked Kingdom, the thrilling new fantasy novel by Leigh Bardugo, who is the number one New York Times bestselling author of Six of Crows and the Grisha trilogy. Crooked Kingdom picks up where Six of Crows left off. Amazing. Think Harry Potter meets Game of Thrones. That's what the Los Angeles Times said. Publishers Weekly gave Six of Crows a starred review. With each new novel in the Grisha universe, Leigh Bardugo's fan base continues growing. Men and women, young and old, non-genre readers, and top fantasy authors alike. This is a world where magic is power. Power is magic, and what doesn't make you stronger just might kill you. Six of Crows was a number one New York Times bestseller, USA Today bestseller, and New York Times Notable Book of the Year. Readers are hooked and dying for more. Well, now the wait is over. The con is on, and the entire kingdom is up for grabs in Crooked Kingdom by Leigh Bardugo. Learn more about Crooked Kingdom and all the Grisha novels at leighbardugo.com. Hey, guys, I have a big favor to ask. And it'll take less than 10 minutes. Please go to www.podcastopinions.com to complete a short online survey. The first 250 people that go and complete the survey get a $25 gift card to restaurant.com with a chance to win an additional $250. Our show is supported by advertisers, and filling out this survey really helps us out. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little dog on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
I'm here with Steve Aoki. Thank you so much for sitting down with me. Yeah. So you're a Newport Beach guy.
Yeah, I was raised there, yeah.
And now you're gone.
I'm gone.
Whole family's out.
Family's gone.
And you live in Los
Angeles. Not gone.
Not gone. No, here with us.
Family is out of Newport. Yeah.
Yeah, and in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we are speaking tonight at this International Marketing Association conference. I'm curious how the internet and social media has changed, because you've been doing this a long time. What is the difference that you've seen over your time?
From MySpace?
Yeah. From MySpace to now. That'll be your memoir. From MySpace to now.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many little changes that, like, it almost, you don't really see the change because it's like a constant evolution. But I think at the end of the day, it's just more access, you know? It's like more access. And then now it's becoming more, you know, with social media, it's just becoming more disposable, you know, obviously, like Snapchats, and people love that. And there's also a difference between, like, when you're, like, people, when people use Twitter, and when people first started using Twitter, it was to talk to each other.
Right.
Now there's no one, just like ordinary people using Twitter to talk to each other. They only use it to follow someone that they like. That's like an influencer, like an artist or an actor or something like that. So, like, I feel like that is Twitter's game. It's like a communication with an influencer and their fans.
What do you think is the top social media app right now?
Well, it depends. Like, if you're someone that just wants to jump on social media, like, that just wants to talk with their friends, it's Snapchat. I feel like Snapchat is the most commonly
used. Isn't Snapchat crazy that it just disappears? I don't know if I like that or hate that.
It's almost like a text. It's like you text with your friends, you text, like, you know.
Yeah.
Before, like, 2 years ago, I feel like the way people, before Tinder, the way people, like, found out about each other was like, yo, what's your Instagram? What's your Facebook? Now it's like, what's your Snapchat, right? It's like, it's just different.
It's very digestible.
Yeah, and it's more, I mean, like, for me as an artist, I use them all, obviously, mm-hmm. because everyone uses them all. But I know how there's a different way to use each one, you know? Snapchat's all, it's all, you know, it's like almost like your blah, you know? Twitter is very similar to Instagram in a way
where... It's promotional.
Yeah, it's promotional and it's, yeah, exactly. And it's I'm talking with my peers on Twitter.
Do you interface with people on social media? Because you have millions of followers.
Through DM, I talk to a lot of different artists through Twitter, actually, more than any other media.
But what about the regular people? Do you ever
respond? I use them all. I still use Twitter a lot. Is probably strange, but I still use it because I have a pretty, like, I've been building for so long, you know.
Yeah.
With Instagram, it's different because it's like it's like all comment based.
Right.
So I don't really go deep into my comments too much. So Twitter's probably the best way for me to see feedback.
So you accept the feedback. Do you get negative feedback?
Oh, tons.
How do you handle that? Because that's a big thing, especially I see with my children.
Yeah.
Who are just entering into the social
media
phase.
There's always negative feedback, no matter what. I mean, you have to accept that there's people that will always hate whatever you do. They won't accept it. They're just like.
What do you do? Do you just scroll through? What do you do?
If they're really, they're racist, or if they're really, like, you know, below the belt, then
you block.
I block them.
Yeah, me too.
But if they're like, they're just, you know, subjective, kind of like, I don't really like the song. Like, I don't really care. You know.
How do you get inspiration for your music?
I mean, it's all like, I don't know, stuff around me. It's not just about what I'm hearing at the time. It's like everything, you know. I'm a walking notebook, so I kind of like record everything.
But when you hear a new song on the radio, you go, oh, what I could do with that.
If I hear a song on the radio that I really like, I kind of dissect it like a surgeon, see what elements I like.
Oh, it's like my husband.
Yeah. See what elements are worth keeping. You
know. How hard was it for you to go from to this huge stage show? Were you very confident that was going to work?
No. It's like still.
But you were a pioneer in this field.
Still, like, sometimes I still feel like a shy kid, you know, on the stage sometimes. You know.
I think it's interesting that you don't drink. And you're not into that culture, but I feel like people that come to your shows, there's a lot of like, oh, who's doing Molly tonight? Let's go to this
show.
My main thing is connecting with people. I can't really connect with people if I'm high or if I'm drunk. If I'm drunk, then I'm just really more into myself. And I'm here to connect my music with people the best way I possibly can. So if I'm aloof, if I'm not, you know, if I don't have that clarity, mm-hmm. then I can't do my show as well as I would want.
Yeah, your show's amazing. So your family starts in the restaurant industry. What do they think when you say, hey, I'm going to be a DJ?
That's a long story, and it's all in my documentary, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead.
Okay, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. I love that. And how they must be very proud of you now.
Yeah, my father passed away. My mom is proud. We moved her. She's my neighbor. So I see her a lot more now, which I'm happy about.
So you're all out in Las Vegas now.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So how do you keep in touch with your fans? How do you know what's the next thing, what they want to hear, what they're looking for?
Every way I possibly can find out, you know. Obviously social media is a big part of it. It's like I have to gauge it with a heavy filter though too, because I have to still focus on what's passionate for me, you know,
yeah.
instead of what's passionate for them. So it's kind of like a balance, you know. It's a balance between like how to make sure that my music it doesn't go over their heads, and also how to really kind of challenge myself. So I'm always excited about making new music that's always going to push me forward, you know.
Okay, last question. What advice would you give to someone that looks at you and says, wow, this guy's amazing, he's so inspirational, how can I get into this? What advice would you give to someone starting out?
There's so many different things I could possibly say, but I'd say that the most important thing is trust yourself and follow what you really love to do, because at the end of the day, if you don't like it, it doesn't matter if it's the easiest route. Just really stop, reset, meditate, whatever you need to do to like really like kind of sit back and think about the larger game plan.
Very cool. Thank you so much for sitting down with me, Steve. You're awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
John Cecente coming up next, but first, let's talk about care.com. I will tell you, this is a service I have used many, many times. Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care. At care.com, you can find and book and pay for care all in one place. At care.com, you can find care for everyone in the family, whether you need childcare while you're at work or you need to line up a sitter for a special kid-free date night, care.com is there for you. You can also find housekeepers, dog walkers, tutors, errand runners, and senior care. Care.com home pay experts provide tax and payroll assistance to families who employ caregivers. So families can join for free as a basic member to easily search for great local caregivers. Once you upgrade to premium membership, you can reach out to caregivers, schedule interviews, and even book and pay for care online or through our app. Care.com's website is incredibly easy to use, and I personally have found so many people, and my friends have also, to babysit the kids, to housekeepers, all kinds of caregivers I've gotten from Care.com. To save 30% off a Care.com premium membership and receive a $15 credit that you can use towards paying your caregiver when you use Care.com's convenient payment platform, visit care.com/Heather when you subscribe. That's care.com/Heather.
Hey, I'm here with John Cecente from ESPN. John, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Hey, thanks for letting me in the room. This is great.
This is a cool conference, isn't it?
It's awesome.
How did Sinan get you into IMA?
So actually, it was a chance meeting. I went to meet a friend of mine for a cocktail at Mandarin, met Sinan. And 2 weeks later, he invited me to a dinner at the Wynn with a bunch of network people just to kind of hang out and have some fun. And the rest is kind of history. He's like, hey, you've got to be a part of this. This is a great group of people, and it's been awesome.
So tell me your title at ESPN.
So I'm the executive director of ESPN Events. We own and operate 28 events across the country. We got smart a few years ago where we stopped paying people to put events on TV. And we figured if we owned and operate the events, we would save on the TV rights fees. It's a better business model. So we don't own everything we put on TV, but we own now 28 events that we broadcast as well.
So what are the biggest events? What are the number one, two, three?
College bowl games. So we own 13 bowl games. We own two neutral site early season football games. So all college athletics, bowl games, basketball tournaments, and college basketball and college football awards.
I'm a Syracuse girl, so you know.
There you go. So you love college basketball then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're really big.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what is it that you think people can learn from what you do and from ESPN?
You know, the sports world is changing so much. I'm actually still learning every single day. The sports world has changed so much where people are not buying tickets to events like they used to. The TV product has become so good.
Why do you think that? Oh, because people are sitting at home.
65-inch TV, yeah. High definition, your own beer, your own
couch. By the way, I hate high definition. I'm an actress. Our sportscasters are going to be like 12 years old soon because we all look like crap in high definition.
Oh, yeah. But the fans love it.
Oh, so, yeah. So, it's like you're there.
Yeah.
So how do you get people in seats?
See, that's the challenge. We're losing some of the casual fans. The casual fans are watching TV. They're not buying tickets like they used to.
And if they don't buy a ticket, they don't buy concessions, and that leads to
a
big
problem. Down effect.
Okay.
It's a trickle-down effect. So what we have to do now is the reason digital marketing and internet marketing and social media marketing is so valuable, you can target those exact fans that you want, that you need. The casual fans, we're going to lose here and there, but now it has to be more targeted than ever, and that's where the internet plays a role and digital marketing plays a role.
So how do you do that?
Social media, geo-targeting, you know, that's where I'm not the expert in that. I hire the experts to do that. I know what we need to do. I know how it has to be done. I don't know the logistics of how it actually gets done. We hire people to do that. But it's changing, and we're doing a pretty good job. We're capturing some of those people.
Well, what I think is cool about ESPN is that we know your brand. Because tonight we're talking a lot about branding.
Yes.
And you know, when you're watching ESPN, it's sports.
Yes.
But how do you expand on that? How do you take your brand of sports and expand on it to a more mass market media? Because obviously we're all looking to expand. Where do you go?
It's engaging the fan. So we talked about they want to watch it on TV. They're engaged on TV. How do we engage them?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be the multi-platforms, phone, computer, interactive TV.
So you can consume it easier.
Consume them, engage them, get them more involved in it.
What about selling? Because, I mean, I think a lot of what all of us do is we want to sell to people.
Right.
So how does ESPN monetize on it? Because it's not just about tickets. It's not just about viewership.
Right.
There's also concessions and team shirts and things. I mean, that all adds up.
Everything adds up. TV still rules everything.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, TV still rules everything. The key is you get them to the event, and then everything kind of trickles down from there. It starts with each community making a little bit of money, the stadium making a little bit of money. It all trickles down from there, and it's challenging. It is to get people to you know, travel to a particular game, spend hard money. They don't have a lot of time. They have to deal with traffic and parking and, you know, $10 beers. It's hard. But if you get them engaged, you give them something that they cannot experience on their couch, you're more likely to have those people as fans for life.
Well, that's very interesting because, you know, because we're in a consumable age of people that can watch a video on YouTube and see clips of things. And I'll say to Terry, oh, let's watch the MTV Music Awards. And he goes, why? We could see it, you know, online
five seconds
later. Who cares?
Yeah.
What is the plan going forward to keep those viewers so they don't do that?
Well, that's the number one challenge in our industry is the cable cutters or the cable nevers. It's the folks that are not getting cable TV, not getting direct TV or satellite TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones that they consume in a different way. Twitter, YouTube, small little clips, Snapchat now. ESPN has a Snapchat page where we show little clips of highlights because that's what people want to consume. They want to consume a couple seconds of a highlight, not watch a whole game. They just want the little bit of it. So we're always evolving. We're trying to stay on top of things. The world is changing so fast that it can be hard at times. But you know, we have some pretty sharp people that are staying about. That's not my world. I lean on them to figure out where we're going next and what we need to do. But we're trying really hard to stay on top of it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Staying on the cutting edge. I love that. Thank you so much for sitting down with me and talking to me.
Thank you for taking the time. You've done amazing things. Very, very honored to be here. You guys are awesome. I really enjoyed what you did out there.
Thank you.
So thank you for allowing me to come in here.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being here.
It's awesome.
So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little dog on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews? Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
I think I'm still hungover from Vegas.
I think I'm still hungover watching you being hungover. Oh, but you're such a good time. You're a good drunk.
I don't think I get drunk.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's just how you say it. But you are such a good time. There's some people that get really dramatic or start crying or downers. You are just on another level.
I like to dance.
You do.
I like to have fun.
You're in your own world.
I know. I love
it.
It's
so fun.
People think because I don't dance on bar tops and I don't do shots that
you can't have.
Although you better watch the E! News segment because I may have done some shots. Now that I'm thinking about that. Interesting. I'll have to tell Tamara. What do we have for Dear Heather today?
Okay, so this actually makes sense because it was kind of like your beauty tip. So it's Amy from North Carolina. Dear Heather, I feel like my skin is getting rough. Any tips on getting my body nice and smooth?
Great question. We actually have a product in Consult Beauty, our drinkable collagen. It's called our Beauty Shot Cocktail. Amazing. And this is why. So there's two kinds of hydrolyzed collagen in there and ceramide technology. And there's clinical studies that show after about 30, 40 days, you're going to get a reduction in roughness and smoother, more moisturized skin. And it's after 60 days, you get a reduction in micro wrinkling, which are those little lines around your eyes and your mouth. Here's what's amazing about it. There's so many great products for your face. There's products for your body, but you grow your skin from the inside out. And drinkable collagen is, you know, it's supporting the health of your collagen head to toe because there's no Google Maps for the collagen. So when you drink it, it goes all over your body. And I was starting to get those rough elbows and those rough knees and everything, and this completely changed the game. Now, there's other drinkable collagens out there, but you have to look for a hydrolyzed collagen or else it's just going to be burned up by your stomach acids. So you can buy ours at evine.com. There's a direct link at heatherdubrow.com, or you can find another one. I actually not really sure one exists.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Besides ours. But if you see, I've seen drinkable collagens out there before, but look for the word hydrolyzed or else you're just not doing anything for yourself because it'll break up in your stomach acids.
Interesting. Okay, here's one from Georgina from California. Dear Heather, love you on RHOC this year. You're looking more beautiful than ever.
Oh, thank you.
I'm trying to up my style game. I was wondering what your go-to outfits when going to get the kids from school or maybe going to a lunch and running light errands are.
I'm pretty basic. You know, I like a uniform of sorts, but I go through phases. Like literally right now, I'm wearing black crop jeans, a black sleeveless t-shirt, a couple of layered necklaces, and cute flats. That's a go-to outfit for me. When the weather gets a little colder, I typically wear a pair of dark, tell me this is no, is not so me, dark denim, a white t-shirt, a blazer, Chanel flats.
Yep.
That's pretty much what I wear. And a tote bag.
Yeah.
And studs.
And
plain
a scarf.
Studs.
You always have a scarf.
And I always have a scarf.
Possibly
I have a collection of scarves that started with my grandmother. And she collects these Hermes scarves, and so does my mom, and so does my aunt, and I have a collection. But I like McQueen, all kinds of scarves. I have to have a scarf. I'm always cold. Adds a little pop of color. Love it. So I don't really know if that answered your question. That tells you what I wear. But typically, I just think neutral is best. And I like to look put together. Mm-hmm. So I won't just throw on a sloppy t-shirt. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be tucked in with a belt and a, you know, but I like to be look crisp.
Okay, here's the last one.
Okay, wait, let me, sorry. Because okay. Another thing is there have been times where like I think I'm doing one thing and I end up doing another. Mm-hmm. And unless it's days that I'm in my gym clothes all day, which is many, many days, and that's okay. And that's why, thank goodness, they make such cute gym wear now.
Right.
So if you're not doing that, if I'm actually going to put on something other than gym wear, I want to make sure it's crisp. So if you do end up going out to dinner or you end, you know, casual mm-hmm. or meeting someone or running into someone, right. you know, you look put together.
Right. So you can still dress simple, but at least it's, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, still. I always felt like when I saw moms coming to pick up and they're, when they're really little and you have to walk in and out with the stilettos on and, right. oh, there's definitely moms like that here that are done to the nines to pick up the kids. And you're thinking, where were you? And they weren't anywhere.
Right.
I mean, if you're coming from a lunch or you're going somewhere, yeah. Yeah, I get it. But yeah. it's every some women, that's like, that's yeah. what they do. Oh, it just seems like a little bit much. I'm not judging it. Like, if that yeah. makes you happy, do it.
Yeah.
But for me, I think simple, clean, put together. But I also am a big proponent of walking around in your workout stuff.
You are or you're not?
I am. Oh. It's so cute now. And honestly, we're all so busy. Who has time? I mean, a lot of times I'll drop all the kids off, go to the gym, and then, you know, like change my shirt.
Right.
But they make such cute little jackets and everything. And then, you know, I run a few errands or I get lost or I pop over to Terry's office and I want to say hi to him. Right. And all of a sudden I go, oh, I don't have time to go home and shower and change. I got to go pick up the kids. So that outfit stays on. So it might as well look cute.
There you go. Okay. Here's Carrie from San Diego. Hi, Heather. I love your podcast, especially the hippest, hottest, newest segment. I was wondering if you have any advice for preventative aging, as I am in my late 20s and want my skin looking beautiful forever. Is there anything you tell your kids besides lathering and sunscreen to help them maintain their skin? I hope I'm not asking you to give away any secrets in your much anticipated Dr. Mrs. Guinea Pig book.
That's so cute. You know what? The bottom line is with good skin is very simple. Sunscreen, stay out of the sun, get on a good routine and stick with it. Take off your makeup at the end of every day. Make sure you have a good serum and a good moisturizer. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're keeping your skin clean. That's all really important, because if you're not doing those things, that's when your skin gets clogged. That's when it starts to break out. That's when you get, you know, problems that, you know, if you're in the sun, you're going to get age spots, you could get melasma. So you really just want to stick with the basics, and that is going to keep your skin absolutely beautiful.
Great.
So if you want to get a copy of the book, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig, you can go anywhere books are sold. And if you want to get it at Amazon.com, don't forget to use your Heather Dubrow's World banner. We have a direct link on HeatherDubrow.com where you could just buy it from there and you pay the regular price, but you support our show and you keep podcasting free, which is awesome. Oh, I'm not supposed to say awesome anymore. I'm not supposed to say fun and awesome, which is great. Really great. Don't forget to get tickets for our live show in Las Vegas. I'm so, so excited. Paul Nassif was texting me this morning. Hey, doll, can't wait. So that's going to be so fun. Thursday, October 13th at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. There's a VIP meet and greet afterwards. We are not running out of champagne this time. I have made sure of it. Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to be a guest. His wife is going to be there. Terry Dubrow is going to be a guest. Paul Nassif is going to be a guest. He's single, ladies. Come meet him. Natalie Pouchet will be there. She's single.
Oh, my gosh.
Come see her. I'm telling you, we should do like a speed dating thing for you and Paul. See if there's any good candidates in
that
the
would
office.
Be good.
Yes. So if there's women out there that have a son or a daughter that they'd like to meet Natalie or Paul, send me a message on Twitter or Instagram.
I'm mortified right now.
It's going to be great. We're going to have the best time. We're going to party.
Okay, let's wrap up the show now.
We won't be back at Evite until November. I think it's November 16th, 17th, 18th. And we're still working on the venue for our live show in Minneapolis. So I know, hang in there. You guys have been very patient. But I guess the promoter is working on the deal yeah. with the venue. And then we will tell you when that is going to be. Our new Dr. and Miss Guinea Pig podcast is starting soon, mid-October. So we'll let you know when that's coming. And we will see all of you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try, and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you need is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.